Hey there. Welcome, welcome, welcome to our superhero training on this magnificent, powerful day. Kicking in on the merry, merry 6th of May. What an incredibly powerful time we're having in here in Hawaii. It's like we're being bombarded with, you know, just so much light and incredible power. I'd love to know that I'm coming through loud and clear. If you can just send me a little chat mail, that would be really, really awesome. And we can begin this broadcast. And just have a little moment in the silence. Brother Michael's a little late. He's coming real soon. And just take a few soft, gentle, deep breaths. Yay. So, I'm hoping I'm coming through loud and clear because I can't see any chats here, but I know you're all there because I can see the... Oh, here we go. Cool. Okay, lovely. So this week we're winding up, let's say we're winding down the superhero training. We're with some question and answer stuff. So whatever you have in terms of questions based on what we've been doing, then you can just send that information over here through the chat and we'll try and answer everything as it's coming through. So while that's happening, while you're thinking of some questions, just wanted to sort of clarify everything that's come to pass, what we've been sharing over these last few weeks. It's been an amazing experience for us all, there's no doubt about it, and I'm getting a lot of feedback from individuals about, you know, the personal transformation that we're all going through. And it's an incredible thing to share, you know, and I just want to talk a little bit about the, you know, the real wonder of it, what, you know, this life that we're in and really what's going on. And here we are, you know, just embedded in this dream world and what we're perceiving as reality, we're understanding is energy forming according to causal factors, and those causal factors are being defined by our levels of consciousness, by the degree of awareness and the purity of our attitudes as we move through life. And we either create waves as we're moving through this experience that attract the formation of disharmonious feedback to us, or we create waves that are in harmony with life, and there we get lifted up into more and more wonder, into more and more beauty, into more and more power and amazement. And so every moment of every day is a little built-in challenge, something for us to navigate in a more masterful and more graceful way. And of course, when the feelings are involved, and when we consider that there's so much emotional content stored as a residual, a recording within the soul, it's very easy to see and appreciate when, you know, there's eruptions of this stuff, how we can be, you know, caught by the moment, how we can react in a way that we don't have any control over at all, we don't have any mastery over at all, seemingly. But the thing is that every moment presents a unique opportunity, meaning every moment. So you can be caught by a wave of your own reactive nature or whatever, and you can be seemingly being driven by that wave, but there's always a way you can find the balance in this moment, you know. And that's where that self-mastery comes in, and the ability to use whatever energy is flowing your way, and to respond to the situation in the most appropriate manner. That's what we're really, 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 really into. Yes, so it's just a wonder, isn't it? Everything's just such a wonder. It really is such a wonder. Yes, and these little breaths we keep taking. Yeah, so beautiful. Oh, so beautiful. So we're gifting you with tools, and we really honor you and thank you for accepting these gifts. The information that we've been sharing with you, and how we've been presenting that, and the homework and the meditations and whatnot. And It's an eternal journey of unfolding that human potential, and it gets more and more simple as you go further and further and deeper into it. And you find yourself basically as you lose yourself. So life can be overwhelming momentarily, and this, you know, whole chaotic nature of life and how we can be, you know, just captured by moments, and it brings our stuff up for us to have a look at. And then we're redefining ourselves all the time. We're in a constant flux, a constant metamorphosis, a constant transformation that's going on all the time, and it will always be going on. That's the wonder of it all. And so this epoch that we're sharing together right now, we're calling forth, we're invoking a certain pattern, a template of human beingness, and it's founded on the tenderest levels of compassion for oneself and compassion for others. It is founded upon understanding of the nature of oneself, a realization of oneself, who I am, and what I belong to in terms of the greater whole of which I am a part of, and how my relationship towards the greater whole through who I am is my major responsibility. Through self-nurturing, through self-nourishment, through following the path of my joy, through patience and tolerance and compassion and deep appreciation and gratitude and self-love and acceptance for who I am, no matter how that is expressing and what thoughts are going through my mind, how I'm feeling, allows us to open these magical portals within ourselves that connect, where we connect those filaments of our being. We have, you know, an infinite number of filaments, like light, like a star shining or the sun shining. How many individual rays of light are there? You know, they're countless. And that's what the soul is. That's the spirit shining through it, that lens of the soul. And so as it shines through into creation, all of those innumerable, countless filaments are syncing up with life. They're coming into an interface. And so we, as individuals, through being focused, having the ability to focus within us in a heart-centered way and stay dedicated and devoted and committed to that relationship within us, we can bring from within ourselves the gift of life, and we can become who we are destined to be. We can become who we truly are. And this is now I am that I am. I am that I am. This is the beloved I am. The I am is the essence of life. It's the spirit of life, the presence of life. And it is invisible and has no and formless and supplies and flows into all things through its beingness. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Yes. So let's just breathe that for a moment with so much appreciation and gratitude. Yeah, that's exactly right. So we're studying the Wilcox stuff, and we're understanding that, you know, these are scientific models, okay, that based on materialism, quantifiable energy dynamics, geometric, sacred geometry, the understanding of how energy flows, how creation works in terms of its mechanics. But what we're interested in is the feeling experience of that. That model that David Wilcox and also Nassim Harriman use, and other guys as well, of the double toroidal shape, the two toroids spiraling into a center, and the flowing feedback loop as the all that is experiences is itself within creation, and then feeds back to itself like that. Where that is really centered in us is this heart space. And this notion of singularity, this being focused and being able to stay centered in the heart and allow ourselves to breathe the experience of life through the grace. And remember our equation through the grace, love times faith equals grace. So love times faith equals grace. The faith is that underpinning of solidity, the rock solid foundation of who I am in the world, what my relationship is to life, where is my source, what is the nature of my source, and the absolute experience of a flowing dynamic relationship spiraling out from that inner internal nexus point. Because the whole thing, you know, all of these models, all of these geometries, they all compress down to an invisible singularity. You can't see it, but it's there. It's a single point of light, and that's what we call the soul. No one's ever going to be able to draw the soul, you know. So we have to go beyond these models, and this is really good news for the feelers, you know, the ones that are more, you know, resonant with feeling. All of these ideas, all of these models, all of this wisdom, and it's brilliant, brilliant, illuminated stuff, and it's necessary, is all part of the what we call the armor of God and the army of God. But what we want is the experience of God. We want the essence of God. That's all we're after. So it's an experience, and the keynote is relationship, and that relationship comes from deep within me. So these the higher vibrational wave that's going through the universe is, you know, it's like the waves of the seasons, you know, changing. These are all temporal material things, but you don't have to concern yourself about things that are moving through the universe that may or may not be around, and cycles and what have you. This is all really good news and supportive of our ascension or incension. But what we're really interested in is this unwavering, never changing, ever constant, 100% there in all its power, all of the time, presence of life that you and I are part of, that we come from, that we belong to. And it's all there in the sweetness of that relationship. So we're communicating the highest frequency of scientific understanding here through a more poetic and living experience, one that makes you feel so good, one that fills you with what you're looking for in terms of the qualities of aliveness, you know. And yeah, there's lots of waves going through creation, and there's incredible energy pouring through our spaces at any given moment. You know, phenomenal energy movements are occurring all the time, and we're in a tremendous time of incredible opportunity right now in the world. But the thing is, it's all inclusive, accessible everywhere from the invisible realm in its essence and most potent. You get that? So let's just have a few breaths on it. Surrendering to love, divine love, the holy presence of amazing grace. It's whole, it's complete. And this heart space is where it's all about, you know? That's it. That's your organ of interface. That's the way you connect with it all, through that heart. Nothing else is gonna give you what you're looking for, you know? It's just absolutely not. That's the center of this toroidal sphere. That's the eye of the hurricane. That's the soul nexus point, deep within your feeling experience, your felt experience. And this whole, you know, Wilcox talks about the difference in the models of raising Kundalini. It's not about getting something up your spine to turn something on in your brain. That's not the essence of what we're talking about here. And I'm not knocking Kundalini yoga. It's lovely, wonderful stuff. I love it from time to time. But all of these techniques and methods that require systems of application for conscious manipulation of energy are secondary to the experience of opening your heart like a flower in innocence to the inner sun within you, that radiates golden love and light all the time, constantly, in full power, all the time, constantly. That's what we're committed to as superheroes. And that's a completely different pattern, that's a different template. Avocado likes to say that we're immortal yogi superheroes, having the best day ever, all the time. It's a great deal, you know. It's the best deal in town. But that's a choice. I'm choosing to orient my sense of self in that way. I'm choosing to that pattern, that template, that belief system, ideal. I'm choosing that consciously within the context of the times. An immortal being, a yogi soul, meaning I'm in communion with the all that is through a definite, real experience. A superhero, meaning my action in the world is helping innumerable people to ground it in to this 3D reality. That's one of the most important things. How do you ground it in? That's the only thing that really, really, really matters on this playing field of life in this 3D, is how effective you are within it. Because part of the deal, we're so wired into it. Part of the deal is, you know, helping to shift it through our own actions, through our own thoughts, through our own words, but specifically our actions. That's where you really land. That's where you really arrive in full aliveness. And I want to make that really, really clear. We're not you know, hanging around on the higher frequencies. We're visiting the higher frequencies for a supercharge, and then we're going deep, 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 deep down into the darkness, into the muck of life, and getting our sleeves rolled up and scrubbing out the dark corners. That's what we're all about, you know. It's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. And it's a challenge for us to get that dirty. But it reminds me of a quote from, let's see, what's his name? There's a beautiful poem, Crazy Jane. You ever heard of that? Crazy Jane? Anyone online, just do a little Google up who wrote Crazy Jane. William Yeats, I think it was, W.H. Yeats. And Crazy Jane is hanging out with the, you know, like the Archbishop, the bishop, this like super religious character. And the Crazy Jane's like some wild-hearted, you know, mad drinking woman, you know, who's very open with her sexuality and whatnot. And the poem is just amazing. And one of the lines in there is that love has pitched his tent in the place of excrement. Love has pitched his tent in the place of excrement. So love, this is divine love, this is God's love, this is the love of life, has put his tent up where all the shit is, where the filth, the muck is. And that's the call to you. That's the call to you. Are you able to come into that degree of power, that degree of steadfastness and solidity and courage and ability so that you can hold that frequency in that darkness? And that's an incredible initiation, and that's what it means to be a superhero in the world. That's what it means. Heart space in the darkness. Amazing. Let's have a few breaths here. Let's keep it's really tuning in with the heart. And it's so much in the dedication and the devotion. How surrendered am I? I'm down on my knees every day. Every day. Plenty of times in the day. Just opening with so much surrender and so much tenderness and so much innocence. And purity in my intention to commune with the ocean of life. It's such a heart-opening experience. It's so beautiful. I'm almost crying now just relating to you the details of my inner experiences. And it's not like I've always been able to do that. There's one fold after another fold after another fold, and the petals just open and open and open and open until we get closer and closer and closer and closer to something so unmistakably wonder-filled that we're walking into these halls of experience within ourselves that start showing up fleetingly as fleeting moments of vibratory experience, and then become all the more real and all the more tangible. And we immerse ourselves in that. And as we immerse ourselves in that, the experience of life shifts all around us into more and more wonder. And it requires immense sensitivity and dedication and faith and certain knowingness, you know. Be certain that the magic is oh so real in life. And if you can walk down the street in, you know, in some noisy city with all that pollution and all that toxicity and you know, and mix in with levels of consciousness and individuals that have no resonance with that frequency at all, nothing, zero, then you're a total superhero. You know, you've won the game. Like, you are, you know, unbeatable. What's gonna, you know, challenge that degree of invincibility? So wherever you are, you know, that's the core, wherever you are. It's amazing, amazing. So let's just breathe on that a little bit. Yeah, the more we appreciate, the more we have to appreciate. It's a total feedback loop. It's just the best news there is. And I can tell you lots of my experiences, but I wonder what you're referring to particularly there. Somebody asked me to relate one of my experiences. What in particular are you getting at there? What would you love me to share? Yeah, I've been an adventurer. You know, there's always been a call for me in my life to aspire to something wonderful, to aspire to something. I was always reaching, and still am, the next level of being. You know, that's what it's all about for me, the next level of being. And you're always being gifted a vision of the next grandest version of yourself. It's a vision of beauty, of wonder, and the next level of perfection for you. And you can make quantum leaps if you've got the ability to deal with it. You know, you have to be able to deal with the quantum leap, and that means, can you perform in the world of form? Can you manifest your abilities? Can you live your dreams? If you have a quantum vision, it's like, okay, for instance, in my early days, really the leap was coming through athletics. And when I used to play a lot of rugby, I used to play for a really, you know, country team that weren't very good at all. But we had a vision of being good, and we got good. And then I went and played for the best team around, and we had a vision of getting good, and we got really good. We were unbeaten in one season. We had like 47 games where we won in a trot. And then I had a vision of playing at the highest standard in New Zealand, and that was a massive quantum leap. And I went and dipped myself into that experience. And when you make these quantum leaps, you have to be able to deal with it. And that's all about your inner abilities, your inner abilities. So let's just take a few breaths here and just close our eyes and look up within, and let's just absorb the beauty of this moment in all its fullness. Yay. So one of the Brother Michael's here, by the way.
Hello.
Yeah, but have a little blessing, brother.
Ah, yes, just had a interesting journey over here. Some of the old Hawaiian cars, you have to roll them down a hill to get them going. Namaste. So we had a little bit of exercise prior to coming here, which is why I'm a bit late. How is everybody? Are you all good? All enjoying yourselves? Today we're doing the questions. So you're doing great. Better than ever, yes. Very good. So we've given you a lot of information, a lot of stuff. How did your homework go? Did that make sense to you? I sent you lots of things to do. So I don't know whether or not you understand all of that. I've tried to make it as clear as possible. And like I said, these things take time. So, you enjoyed? Yes, good. takes a long time. Does anyone have any questions about the homework, living your dharma, understanding who you really are and what you really need to do, And that's a very, very, very personal thing. No one else can tell you. And that's quite fascinating, isn't it? No one else can tell you what it is apart from you, your higher guidance. Yes, wonderful. Haha. Manifesting generator. So the question is, I saw I'm a manifesting generator. What does it mean to respond? Example. So in the human design, as you probably know if you checked it out a bit, manifesting generators, in any generator apparently is supposed to be asked whether or not they're going to do something. So you're not, you can't be told you have to do this because you're not going to like it. So you need to be asked to respond. And normally what they say is that you need to hear a sound, you'll make a noise. So it won't be a yes or no answer. You'll say there's a noise. And if it's a positive sounding noise, then it means it's a good thing to go for. Yeah, so it's trusting your intuition. But it's also, they say it's a sound. I mean, this is from their theories. And try it out. And apparently then you need to be given a choice. So if you're a generator or a manifesting generator, then if someone's asking you to do something, they should say, would you like to do this or would you like to do this? So you have two or three choices. And whatever, however you respond, whatever the noise is, then you know which is the way to go. A manifestor, oh dear, manifestors. Yeah, manifestors, you need to be nice to the generators. Anyone who's a manifestor, you need to be gentle with the generators, because my own experience with manifestors, I don't have anything against them personally or anything, but the energy of a manifestor is basically, in a sense, almost obsessed with manifesting things. It's like a passionate, this has to be done. You've got all these huge visions, you want to save the world, you want to do this, you want to have these huge projects, you want to do all this big stuff, but you can't do it on your own because you're only one person. So you need the help of these potentially thousands of people to help you out. So often manifestors can be very threatening for generators, because the generators, they feel they have to be doing things all the time. So you might just be mentioning an idea that you have about something you want to do, and they'll take it as if you're asking them to get on the case immediately. You know, and I have this experience. I'm a projector, not a manifestor, but when I speak to generators and I say, oh, I'm thinking of doing this project and it'll look like this, and I'm just being very open and very speculative and just having ideas, and they actually start feeling stressed about it, because they feel like they might be having lunch, so they're eating their salad and I'm just talking about something, and they start feeling stressed, as if I'm literally asking them to stop what they're eating, put it aside and start getting on this massive mission, like immediately, you know. So you need to make sure that you have some awareness around that, you know, because people, they don't take it as just an idea. They feel that you're actually giving them an order, what they need to be doing. So does that make sense? Yeah, so be careful, be nice to everyone. I'm not saying you do give orders, but there's an energy. This isn't my opinion, I'm just telling you what the human design says. But my experience of manifestors is that they, not all of them, it depends actually, I'm thinking of a few, but some of them who are out of balance within themselves, they're just like absolutely on a mission to get everyone to work for them. But that, of course, isn't the case for everyone. And if you're a balanced person and you understand your vision and you have respect, then you won't have any of these problems. But some of the manifestors, it's almost like they've got something in them that is constantly driving them forward, you know, and they can't sleep, and it gets a bit out of control. So just to be aware of it means that you don't get caught in these patterns. Anything else you'd like to know more about from the whole training? We've done so many different things in this training. Flying stage. Ah, that's possibly my favourite subject. So what does it mean? What does the flying stage mean? Flying stage, the word stage refers to your state of mind, your state of consciousness, where you're at inside yourself, what space you hold within you, that's your stage. And someone who's got a good stage, then they're able to handle things, and someone who's got a bad stage, in a sense, they're all over the place. You know, that's just what stage is referring to. So what is the flying stage? I mean, it sounds beautiful, doesn't it? Just to fly, to be above, you know? What is a bird? Angels are in the flying stage. So the flying stage means that you are able to experience the things that are beyond these details of the drama, details of the world, you know? So you've got your life and there's all this stuff happening. The flying stage means that you're free and that you're able to transcend levels of consciousness and go up, up, up. So you can experience yourself in the realm of light, the realm beyond time, the home, the realm beyond space, beyond sounds, the most beautiful place, and experience unlimited reality whilst you're here. I'm just going to read this. Yeah. Where to walk, how to get there. So these things, like we've talked about, the flying stage, in the end, it's like we're going towards somewhere. We have a destination, but you don't get there in one go. So... okay, so I've got a question here. How do you deal with, manage these levels of consciousness and at the same time dealing with the physical reality? Yeah. Yeah, flying's beautiful. So how do you do these two things? I just want to answer the first question, that the flying stage, how do you get there? That's a destination, you know. It takes time to reach the flying stage. We can experience it for moments and then it becomes more and more and more constant. So whatever your aim is, that's where you're going to get in the end, you know. And so you've probably heard the word enlightenment plenty of times. But how many people in the world actually have any interest or any desire or any goal to attain enlightenment, whatever that might mean for them? You know, there's not many who even have that interest to start with. And so if your interest is to have the flying stage, which means that you're able to experience literally like you're flying. When I was in India, I think the first week that I arrived, literally, I felt literally like I was flying for the whole week, like consistently, morning and evening. I felt like I was walking on air. I couldn't feel the ground even. It was like literally like I was flying, like I was on an air cushion. And you know, it's a meditative atmosphere and all the rest of it, so I didn't even have to think much about practical things. But just that experience of literally just being completely free. So there's no fears, no concerns, no worries about anything, you know, and there's the state of bliss and peace that's surrounding everything. And that is the flying stage, and these things become deeper and deeper. So just having an awareness that this even exists, you know, what is it? How does it feel? How do you get there? just feeling all those things, knowing what they are, allows us to move in that direction. And then gradually, as we start experiencing more, it becomes integrated into our life and becomes deeper and deeper and deeper. And it takes time, you know, you're moving towards something. So the practice and the practical application means that you just need to stop your thoughts that are just all over the place again and again and again, and allow yourself to let go, to let go, to let go. Because what is stopping you from having the flying stage right now? Because the flying stage is the natural state of human consciousness, the highest, most original and eternal state of consciousness is that flying stage. And the reason we're not experiencing it is because we're holding on to so many things. We're holding on to all these big heavy weights, all these responsibilities and burdens and stresses. We're the ones who are holding on to them. It's not that they're just there on their own. We're holding on to them. And so if we let go, then you can fly. You know, it's like if you have a balloon with a weight, then the balloon's stuck to the ground. If you cut the weight, then it's off. It's gone. So we're the ones who are holding on to all these things that are stopping us from flying. So the path is partly just cutting the wires that are not necessary, you know, and that's ideas, intellectualization rather than practice, belief systems, thinking I have to do everything, I have to do everything, thinking everything's so serious all the time. These are huge weights that don't allow you to fly into that stage, because that stage is available to you anyway. Mm-hmm. It's just we're holding on to them. Yeah, cut. Yeah, 80-20, that's it. Cut it away. And Brother Nick's here. I'll just put the thing around so you can see his smiling face. Here we are, brother.
There we go,
Brother Nick.
Yes.
So I just wanted to answer another question that was on here, which was about how do you manage the different consciousness levels while dealing with the physical reality. One thing that I find really works for me is just to understand clearly as an experience that the physical reality isn't really the physical reality. It's part of the spiritual reality. You know, there's nothing really physical. This is a spiritual experience that we're having all the time, you know. So it's all a spiritual experience. And just having that attitude that the whole thing, wholesale, all of it, is a spiritual experience, allows you to bring that awareness into your, you know, mundane, supposedly mundane details. You know, because we've got so many things that we have to deal with in our day, you know, endless to-do lists and all these things. But if we can see it from the point of view that this is a spiritual reality that I'm in, I'm literally inside a spiritual reality, morning till evening and in the dreams, then it becomes, you know, a million times easier.
Mm.
You know,
I'd like to say something on that.
Yeah.
Well, one of the tricks that I've experienced is as I've evolved spiritually and matured psychologically, in the early days of that, as what I perceived as ascension, yeah, process, I was feeling myself being lifted, and it was kind of like I wanted to, like, you know, drift out of the world and not really fully engage. It was like there's this other place to be. It's way more fun. It's peaceful. It's lovely. It's full of fluffy pink clouds, and it's just yummy, 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 yummy. And I'd rather not have to deal with the nitty gritty of life if there's a choice. But as I've evolved, my understanding, and also become more and more empowered and effective, happier and successful and more joyful and more alive, what I've shifted into realizing and experiencing and practicing is that the way into the depth of life is through, by penetrating the illusion. We have to meet what appears to be and penetrate it with our heart connection. So we're connected to the essence of everything at all times. Understanding that that life is going to appear a certain way to you, but there's an energetic, underlying energetic presence that we are aware of and we can have a relationship with. And that, depending on how that is oriented, is going to define how the appearance plays out. When I do the barefoot glass walking, that's a really good example of that. Because if you haven't seen that, there's a video on our free resources page called Glass Walking, and you see me carrying a 250-pound man on my back barefoot walking over really sharp broken glass bottles singing hallelujahs. And the appearance of reality is that this is really sharp, gnarly glass. And if I stand on that in my bare feet, there's a really good chance I'm going to cut myself. It's obvious. Mm. And especially if I pick up a 250-pound guy and, you know, and put him on my back. That's like, you know, it's probably not a very good idea at all. I mean, it's a certainty you're going to cut yourself. So, but the deeper thing is that the glass has an energy within it, and that energy is part of life, and the glass is made of the elements, and that I can relate to that glass in a loving way through relationship, and that there's no need for that glass to bite me, and I'm not going to cut myself, because this is a demonstration of love that I'm experiencing, expressing here. It's a demonstration of love in action, of a man in harmony with a seemingly hostile environment that appears challenging and dangerous and scary and all the rest of it. And also, you know, simply picking that guy up and getting him on my back, and, you know, the whole mechanics of that. If you look at that video closely, when I walk that bed of glass, and then right at the end, when I kicked the glass that was stuck in the bottom of my feet off, it wasn't actually in, but it was like stuck to it. I could feel it, and I just lifted my foot up and kicked my foot clean. That you can see that there's actually no weight. It looks like there's no weight whatsoever on me. This was a being lifted up by grace. Right. So this holy presence that this is my particular point of view is that life is geared up towards us accessing the miraculous, and the proof of the pudding is transcending, in a sense, the laws of nature and dissolving these limited experiences that we're having and moving increasingly into the unlimited in a very graceful way. But grounding that in the world of form in a practical way is part of the initiation. Mm.
Very, very true. And you just reminded me the first time I walked on the glass. Remember that in mm-hmm. Cambridge?
Yeah.
You know, there's an expression, life's a piece of pie.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to walk on it. I was like, oh my God, look at this. It's like broken glass. I'm not walking on that stuff. It's ridiculous, you know. And it was out the back. And I just was inspired. I was having a piece of like some kind of pie of some sort, literally, on a little plate. And I just decided I'm just going to walk over the glass and not even think about it in a way, and just be like completely fearless, like I'm just having a piece of pie. And I just walked straight across the whole thing without any worries, because I wasn't caught up in all the bondages of it. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that was just, it just cracked me up, because there I was in my little plate, you know.
Mm. Yeah.
It makes our attitude towards it makes such a difference.
Yeah, someone's asked, Christina's asking. I have a lot of love towards that glass, believe me. Yeah, I'm really into it. It's all about relationship, you know, isn't it? Because here we are, you know, with consciousness embedded in creation, you know, basically relating to itself through, you know, and discovering its own nature as we do. And so, what other reason is there to be alive? You know, why on earth bother if it wasn't all for the love, you know?
Exactly.
So I live
totally.
I live for that. And Nick Good's been born through an experience that was wholly devoid of that in the early years. So it's made my craving to experience that love all the more intense. And so I just go for it, go for it, go for it, go for it. And this is where, you know, this is where it all is. Because if life was just like some sort of mental, you know, thing, and we had to master all this methodology and all these structures and memorize all this stuff and understand the mechanics of materialism, you know, even down to their quantum level, oh my God, you know, why even bother? You know what I mean? It's all about the feeling, not the theory.
Yeah.
That's what it is. And it's so simple. You know, we've become so disconnected from this experience that, you know, we've become infinitely complicated in our, you know, merry jaunt around. But it's so simple. It's really, really simple. And the keynote is relationship and being dedicated and devoted to that relationship. Spiritual practice, relationship with life, relationship with God, relationship with yourself is not an empty, brittle, dry experience. It's a juicy, beautiful, amazing journey of self-discovery and love.
Absolutely. Something that really touched my heart some years ago, I was thinking about just this fact that we're only experiencing our own experience, you know, our own reality, our own version of reality. And so I'm going to relate to this stuff I call life all the time. It's going to be my own personal version of it. And you've got your personal version of reality, of the world that you're seeing. And so, you know, that is a given, like that's a fact. So the question is, you know, what is my relationship to that other, you know, which includes the trees and the sky and you know, the creepy crawlies and all these mad people, you know, who are the Illuminati and whatever. There's all this stuff. What is my relationship to the other, you know, which really is just my relationship to myself. And it just became so clear to me that I might as well just love everything. What else is there other than that? What's going to be a more harmonious and more genuine approach than just to love it? Because it's my own experience, it's my own reality. And I'm the only one who is in that experience. So if I'm not going to love it, then all I'm doing is bringing darkness and bringing fear and pain and judgment upon myself for no reason, you know.
Yeah.
And it really touched my heart, and I thought, you know, just love everything. You might as well. What choice do you have?
Yeah.
Just keep it simple.
It's a choice. Isn't that beautiful? It's a choice. And so as we proceed down this path, and we experience more and more and more of this wonder, we start to appreciate the subtleties of love and understand truly what love is, and therefore truly who we are, you know, what we're made of and what life is and what life's made of. And that isn't the human version of love, which is absolutely dependent on externals and things behaving and appearing in specific ways that we have a preference for. It's this higher love, this agape love, this unconditional love. And so the clues there, this is why we structure the things that we do and the way we do it at Success After Now, or let's say this is the way stuff comes out and then we realize what we've done after we've done it, is that, you know, the peace is the precursor to love. There's no love without peace, and there's no peace without love. So if you want the peace of God which passeth all understanding, that poise and equanimity and the ability to love with equanimity, with, you know, equally, no matter what the appearance is, then you need to be accessing the peace that's going to give you the ability to do that. And so this is why, you know, bringing peace to these different facets of your life, looking after yourself physically, psychologically, emotionally, and spiritually, forgiving yourself and healing your family soul, and coming to acceptance with the machinations of negativity and darkness and evil in the world, and putting that within the context of a much grander picture, that you can come to peace with all these things. You might not be agreeing with them. You might not want to go and kiss these mad politicians that are doing all their crazy stuff, but it doesn't matter, as long as you're experiencing equanimity with yourself, and then you can extend forgiveness through your heart and it's kind of it's an experience, you know, it's an experience that you have, but I experience a massive amount of peace with it all, equanimity is kind of like the body of love, and it has such a delicious quality about it. The sweetness of those higher octaves of being and those abilities and of humanness are just such a delight, such a delight.
Yeah, remaining free of judgment. Yeah. Judgment is such a heavy weight, a weight.
Yeah. And we're very quick to judge, and so we need to, you know, forgive ourselves if we're quick to judge, and if we judge again and judge again and judge again, just keep letting it go.
Yeah.
Just keep letting it go.
Yeah, it's so important to have that attitude, hand it over to the divine. It's not your responsibility, you just let it go. You know, we don't have to hold on to anything.
Yeah, and you might be caught in the moment. We were talking a little bit earlier about how, you know, the reactive nature, it's, you know, we're talking about the highest levels of being that we're aspiring to all of the time. You know, we're already on a high level, because we've all, you know, been doing so much work compared to the, you know, the average common or garden human being that's kicking around in the world at the moment. We are on a very, very, very high level. And I'm talking about you guys just as much as I'm talking about us or any of our little tribe and family. But obviously, you know, we're amazed at the opportunity and the possibilities that are presenting themselves to us. Mm. And we understand that this next grandest version of yourself is always going to be presenting itself. This is the evolution of desire that Abraham talks about. You know, it's a natural thing for you to get to a level and then see a greater, grander version and picture of yourself, because it's an eternal journey. So there's nothing wrong with this.
No.
And so when we're, you know, moving up these octaves of human expression, we can, you know, be triggered by certain situations and whatnot that move energy, they move emotion. And we can, you know, we can really feel this and be momentarily possessed by whatever the spirit of that energy is right now, be it sadness, grief, guilt, shame, anger, whatever it is. Anger's very, very relevant in the world right now, because it's the time of revelation and great revealing. And we're becoming more and more aware of the most shocking expression of human nature in the world, or whether it is human or not, you know. There's plenty of information to qualify that. So, but the shock factor is a constant, and it's probably going to increase in its intensity, because the degree of wonder that's bound up in the poison of the shock factor is a you know, a dark pill that a lot of us are going to have to swallow in order for us to, you know, come to terms with the wonder of life. But what we're choosing is to experience that potency in a package of positivity and you know, within the human context. So this is where we get this, you know, we are the superheroes in the world, you know, actually standing, you know, in battle array, quote unquote, against the forces of darkness. And simply by my presence of being able to maintain that equanimity, that compassion and that wisdom from that more elevated perspective, I can hold my place in life. And by doing so, you know, with my sleeves rolled up in the muck, scrubbing those dark and dirty corners, I can bring the light into the arena where it's most needed.
Yes. Don't underestimate your power.
Yeah.
Don't underestimate your thoughts, your feelings, your life. You know, you're very important in this world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hugely important.
Yeah.
Hugely important.
It's not just like a training program we're doing. You know, this is really bringing the levels of consciousness of the whole world up.
Yeah.
You know, you only need to go up a bit and everyone else comes up with you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I just want to share that, you know, in the end of the day, with all these, we've got our own negative personality traits and all these things, but just holding a vision of where you're going, that's absolutely the most important thing. Where is your trajectory of life going? Where are you set? Where is your sight set? And then when all these thoughts come and these feelings and whatever it is, you can see them all, but you know where you're going, and that allows you not to have the same level of judgment or not have any judgment, you know, because it's just like It's seen as, oh, this is old stuff just coming to the surface, rather than, oh, this is me, you know. But if you don't know where you're going, then you think that what you're dealing with there and then is who you are.
Yeah.
Such a difference.
Let's just answer that question. What about these people that are in financial ruin and losing everything, okay? Well, it doesn't matter what your life situation is. I mean, obviously it does, but in the sense that what the opportunity is in the moment, it's always the same. You know, can I love more? Can I develop a higher, can I express a higher level of human beingness, whatever situation I'm in? Some of us are experiencing, you know, the highest octaves of life and lifestyle in this incredibly transformational time. Others of us are experiencing, you know, the worst depths of depression and confusion and chaos and losing everything and all the rest of it. But this is just life, you know. It's you know, people have always been dying of something, you know, diseases and all the rest of it. You know, do a little research, like a lot of people die of miserable diseases, you know.
Yeah.
So they, we're always challenged with situations. There's the ups and downs of life, the fluctuations of life. It just goes with the deal in this age of insanity that we're all, it, you know, sort of coming out of. And so these individuals that are in these pressure cooker situations, whether they have or they have not, whether they can pay the bills or they can't pay the bills, whether everyone's healthy and happy, or whether everyone's miserable and unhealthy, or whatever the combinations are in those equations, the deal is still the same. How am I dealing with the situation that I'm in right now? What perspective is it based on? What is my relationship to life? Where is my sense of self? And how am I going to go forward? You know, and so that it's as simple as that, and it always will be, that. It's whatever the situation is. So all of these people, in their own way, all of this consciousness is compressed into the situations that they are attached to, and that they've created through their own belief systems and their own drives to acquire and live according to basically other people's ideas.
Yeah, and I'd also like to add to that that, you know, this situation in the world going on, if you think about, you know, the culture, the background of which the current world is, you know, resting on, it's an egoed out, you know, very weird thinking, greedy position to start with.
That's body conscious, fearful, yeah. Materialistic.
That's kind of like the ground from which this stuff has grown. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so it's all been crushed because it's an unnatural position in the first place, you know. And it's all very relative anyway. You know, what's happening really is people's ego, mad ego trips and greed, is just being destroyed because it was founded on the wrong thing. And they don't necessarily need half the stuff they've got anyway. Do you know what I mean? So many people have got absolutely way more stuff. They've got, you know, endless cars and this and that. And you might not be talking about those people, but when you go to India or a lot of places in the world, they haven't got anywhere near the same stuff. They don't even know what it is. They can't even imagine the stuff that people have got in the USA. And so it's a very relative situation. So what's happening is people are just basically being humbled and being made to live more simply and think about the essence of life,
yeah,
and what things are really, what's really real. Because, you know, if someone was just to downsize their situation, they probably have plenty of stuff and they can just enjoy themselves.
Mm.
You know, so it's kind of very relative as well,
yeah,
as everything
it's
else.
It's an incredible thing, and there's some amazing demonstrations of human expression in the face of all adversity. There's that, can you remember the name of that guy? I can't remember his name at all. But he was the one that was really badly disfigured. He was burned in a plane crash. Really successful guy, crashed his private plane and was burned, you know, dreadfully from head to foot, burned alive.
Wow.
But he survived and was, you know, had all the reconstruction and everything, and basically rebuilt his life, and again achieved peaks of success, but still, you know, dreadfully disfigured. And then what happens? He's in another accident, and now he's paraplegic from the head down. Yeah, quadriplegic. So now he's in. Not only is he burned and all the rest of it, but he's in a wheelchair now, from the neck down. And he goes around the world making his money as a motivational speaker. You know, that's what he does. Like, inspires people. It's like, hey man, there's something in life that's so good, so real, and you can tap into it too. You know, don't feel sorry for yourself. Let's have a go.
Yeah, what a joy. And that guy who's got no arms, Nick, and no legs. Yeah,
yeah. Nick Vucic. He's no arms, no legs, no worries. Czechoslovakian, Australian guy.
Yeah.
And what an amazing inspiration. No arms and no legs. And that's his slogan. No arms, no legs, no worries. And he's found his nourishment, and it brings joy, so much joy. And he's such an inspiration, that guy. He moves so many people all over the place. So, you know, we're crying in our soup because we're getting our toys taken away and all our, you know, our indulgences based on, you know, materialistic, you know, myopic perspectives of reality. But these guys are, you know, having things, you know, extremely significant taken away early on in their lives, and having to deal with it for day after day after day, month after month, year after year. Yeah. And there's millions of stories like that.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So, you know, it's like, get on with it. Life's dealing you the cards, and it's just like, okay, it's up to me whether I'm gonna smile here and have a go and look to help some people. You know, there's so many inspirations around for that. Yeah.
And it's like, what I would recommend to people who've lost a lot of money is just, you know, consolidate, obviously, what you do have left, and then just focus on getting your state of being up, you know, is the main thing, because everything's based on that. And then you're going to get ideas and inspirations about what you need to do to change your situation. But, you know, just let things go. You know, a lot of people, there's so many stories where people are attached to their belongings, and they get in massive debt because of it. You know, they have like this egoed out idea of themselves and their life. And even when they lose their job, they'll just get into credit card debt to carry on having parties and buying all the clothes and all the rest of it. So, you know, just take it with a pinch of salt in a way, because that's all you can do. And then focus on the most important things.
Yeah.
Really, because what you have to accept it, consolidate, and then move forward, keep your vision. Because how many stories are there of self-made billionaires or millionaires who had nothing? You know, they came from poor families. Their focus and their vision is what got them where they are. So, and also lots of, like, for example, millionaires who lose their money, they've got the mindset to get the money back again, even though they lost it, because they know they can do it, you know? So if you can do it. If you want to do it, you can do it. Set your focus.
Yeah, we're driving this reality, and as long as you're connected to your driving source, and you're moving from that inspiration and that guidance, and it's coming through fast. You know, you've got to make decisions based on intuitive knowingness, you know, and follow that, and have the courage to follow that. And magical portals are opening up that are not based on materialism. Yeah, there's a version of reality that's being trashed right now, but you don't have to be in that version of reality. You can be the only house standing after the Hiroshima bomb has dropped within 5 miles of your house. Mm-hmm. You can be the only one. There was only one house building left in Hiroshima after that bomb was dropped.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was a convent.
Awesome.
Fascinating. Yeah, 5 miles from the epicenter of the blast. Everything totaled for 20 miles all around it.
Amazing.
So, you know, we're talking about living in grace. It's not a little thing. We're talking about coming into the highest levels of human expression through purity, through integrity, and through allowing ourselves to keep the faith through the trials of tribulations. You know, this is a testing time. You know, we're being everything we are not is being incinerated completely. Yeah. And the Vinash forces are really kicking in, and we haven't seen anything yet.
It hasn't even started yet. Really.
It hasn't even started. This is just like the preamble to the what's really coming down the pipe.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not trying to like scare you, but understand that there's big waves coming in, and you are either going to be rising with these waves on a magic carpet of pure grace, or you're going to be caught up in the turmoil of materialism being reconfigured absolutely by life's almighty hand.
Yeah, and if you haven't already started consolidating, if you're not in this situation, I would consolidate now, actually. Get yourself ready for it. Don't not to be, you know, in poverty consciousness and, you know, blow things up, but just have that awareness that you're going into a spiritual realm now. You're upgrading a reality. And so don't give too much attention to all this running around physical stuff that people are caught up in, because everyone's going to lose stuff, you know. Yeah.
Simplify and follow your joy and follow your heart's calling, and nourish yourselves on a fundamental spiritual level, on an emotional level, on a psychological level, and on a physical level.
Yeah.
You know, really look after yourself and understand, wow, this is the most amazing opportunity that we have.
This one keeps coming back, so we have to answer that. Thank you for keep writing it. Wonderful. Yeah. This is a beautiful question. I'm glad you pressed it.
So I'll share a little bit. People are asking where do we see ourselves in the future. It's individual, you know. Mike's going to share his. My own personal vision for myself is becoming more and more and more a living embodiment of the light and love of God, in manifesting creation, walking around as a man. And I see what that means in the short term is spending more time on the land, with nature, nurturing the earth and being connected to the earth, more time in nourishing my relationships with my nearest and dearest and my family of superheroes around here and in the community around me, and also helping more and more people come into personal empowerment themselves in an increasingly efficient way, so that I am less absorbed with the logistical concerns and emails and telephones and stuff, and my little system that we've been developing with Success Ultra now becomes more and more and more efficient and effective, and then facilitating more personally for people coming over here to the Hawaiian Islands to share in the wonder, and really going into preparing myself for extreme transformation, metamorphosis, transfiguration, biological transmutation, the transformation of this humanness into angelic being, living in wonder, in a real reality of pure delight. Sound good? And having the best day ever.
Best day
with plenty
ever.
Of superfoods.
Get your superfoods down your leg.
Yeah.
Get a smoothie. Yeah, my vision is in a sense fairly similar to what Nick was saying, in a way. It's for me to go deeper and deeper and deeper into the reality of wonder. I like the word wonder, magic. To literally be living in magic all the time, in a state of magic. And I experience it a lot, but I want it to be constant. My aim is to have absolute constant peace, constant love, constant grace, and just enjoy as the wonder just comes to me, because that's what's happening anyway. And so it's to bring it on, bring it on, bring it on, so that it's literally the full blown experience of the highest levels of human consciousness is absolutely present and continuous in my experience. And from that state, I want to just create beautiful things, you know, to do trainings, but also to do more artwork, music, and spend time in nature and have quality, deep, deep, deep relationships, you know, to develop like angelic relationships with my loved ones and my nearest and dearest, you know, to really have that beautiful depth of experience, you know, and have that real quality heart-to-heart time. And to serve as many people as I can. You know, I'd like to serve millions of people in whatever way I can, especially through, you know, the vibrations and the heart and the mind, but also through just helping souls to come through and to birth their own highest potential and just to overcome blockages, you know. And I'd like it to get to a point where my state of being is so powerful that people can just come and sit here and I don't have to say anything and they just transform whatever problems they have. Because I know people like that. And so I'd like to have that level of power, you know, so it's spiritual power, everything I just want the highest state, and I know I've had it before, and I'm going to get it back again, you know?
Yeah.
So, that's where we're going.
Yeah. So this time frame for transfiguration, I don't know, and I don't care, you know, it's like every day is such a joy, you know, yeah. If you're living in the groove of life, and you really, you know, every day is a joy, everything's a joy, every moment is just, it's so wonderful. If it stayed exactly like it is now forever, I wouldn't bat an eyelid. It's just so wonderful, yeah. Perfect. It's, I am fulfilled,
yeah.
You know.
Yay. It's beautiful. I was lying outside today in the sun. I was just thinking, I'm just so happy that I've managed to get where I am today. You know, it's amazing. That's why we do these trainings, to help you get to where you need to get. And the time frame really is, it literally is now.
Mm.
Because if you don't do it now, you're never going to do it.
That's right.
You haven't got anything else, yeah. You know. So that for me, that's kind of the most important thing is now.
Yeah.
That's it. Forget everything else.
Yeah. And there's cycles in the now, and one of the most important cycles of this year is peaking on Saturday night with this full moon, the Taurus full moon, which has its, some people are calling it the moon of Scorpio as well. So there's like an inverse way of looking at that too. But the sun, the astrological sign is Taurus. And Saturday the 9th at midnight, 12:01 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, is the time of the exact full moon, which corresponds with the Wesak festival, which goes on in a little valley in the Himalayas in Tibet. Extremely significant, the merging of Buddha consciousness with Christ consciousness in a very sacred ceremony over there in Himalayas. So you can have a little ceremony yourself, and I'm definitely having a little ceremony myself on Saturday night. And it's very much about letting go, reconciling everything and anything, especially to do with relationships and your own personal attachments to people and how you relate to them in your world. And just really clean, honor, reconcile everything, work through the forgiveness, use the forgiveness prayers of Howard Wills, and very, very, very powerful, howardwills.com. And do a little ceremony for yourself on Saturday night. And guaranteed, Sunday morning, things will be another blank page, a new chapter of wonder opening up for you. And please, 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 please realize that these are the times of miracles and wonder. This is an anything can happen moment, and it's happening right now, this month of May, this year 2009. Go for it, go for it, go for it, go for it, go for it. And catch those quantum waves. It's the best ride in town, isn't it, brother?
Best ever. Just have the best moments ever.
Yeah. May the 9th, Saturday night, 12 midnight, past midnight, Eastern Standard Time, is the exact moment of the full moon. So around there, as best as you can, do a little ceremony, really prepare for it, have the intention, and do it right, and just shed, let go, reconcile everything, forgive everything, and wash yourself, anoint yourself, and step through into a new expression of yourself.
Yay.
Have
a wonderful, wonderful week.
Yes. Any homework, brother?
We're going to send you something out about the superhero training. You can fill that survey in. That's some homework. I don't think we sent them any homework this week, did we?
Not sure. But no. The homework, as always, is be aware of your game that you're playing everywhere in every situation. Try and observe yourself. Just see where you're coming from and ask yourself the question, can I move a little deeper into my heart here? Can I surrender a little more to the wonder and appreciate what appears to be is definitely not what is necessarily so? Practice that. Keep it simple and breathe, 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 breathe the conscious connection with the Holy Spirit, the whole Spirit, the unified part of life that has just got its act together all the time, all the time.
Yes. And last week, maybe our last week with you in this particular training, So it's the integration week is next week. Integration, we're going to be talking about that. So think about everything that you've learned and how much you've integrated in your life, along with what Nick was saying. You know, because we need to be living this practically, moment to moment. So really think, how much of this stuff have you actually imbibed and brought into you? How much has gone in?
Yeah.
And, you know, watch some of the videos again, go over the homework again. integration. We've given you so much stuff.
Yeah.
So just get it down you.
Yeah. Awesome.
I look forward to speaking next week.
Yes. So love and blessings.
Yeah.
An amazing week and blessings on the weekend for that big ceremony.
Yeah, make use of that.
Yeah.
So much love. Thank you.
How long will they have access to the site?
You'll have...
You're on it.
Eternal access.
Yeah, eternal access.
You're constant superheroes.
Yeah.
Don't you worry about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to start you out.
You'll be fine. Don't worry about any of that.
La 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 la. Okay. See you soon.
Aloha.